part five of Paul's Mixed Multitude. And we can see four groups there, can't we, in that verse, in 1 Corinthians 10:32. First, well, let's count the groups. Starting from the end of the verse, the last group is the Church of God. And it tells whoever it's speaking to that you give none offense, to not give offense to the Church of God. So whoever is the you there is not the Church of God. And then it says, give none offense under the Gentiles. So he's not talking to Gentiles. Then to the Jews. He's not talking to Jews either then. And we still have that one more group, the you to whom Paul was speaking. So who was the you group? Well, they were not one of the other three groups. They were one additional, different group. Or else Paul wouldn't have named the other groups separately. And if I say to, by way of illustration here, if I say to John, don't hurt Bob, and he disobeys, then Bob would get hurt. That's different from saying to John, don't get hurt, and he disobeys, and then John would get hurt. Bob is not John, in other words. The difference in the understood you before don't get hurt, you don't get hurt. Well, it determines who you're talking to, is what I'm trying to get across. That's a little bit of a cloudy illustration there, I think. But you can see in 1 Corinthians 10:32, you, understood, is a different group from the three groups that Paul names in the verse. So there were four groups in Corinth in 1 Corinthians 10:32. Not only the Jews, the Gentiles, and the Church of God, but also the you group, understood to be there, including the body of Christ believers in the gospel of Christ. They had come out of the synagogue together with those who had started to believe, like the scattered little flock Church of God believers. And both of those two groups believed the gospel of God. Both those that had been there as being Jews and were completed by believing that Jesus is the Christ, and those that went on to hear and believe the gospel of Christ that Paul preached. The difference between those two groups, which had separated out of the synagogue, the apostate synagogue already, the difference was that only the body of Christ also believed the gospel of Christ, Christ crucified for their sins. And Paul knew that a main part of his commission was to spread the gospel to the remnant according to the election of grace, before Israel's diminishing ended with their Acts 28 blinding and casting away. They had been diminishing. Romans 11:5, which was actually Romans, the whole epistle was written in about Acts 20. It was supposed to, the only time I can figure it was written, and I've been told this too, is that Acts 20 verse 3, in that delay there, that gap, that little time that he had there, was when he wrote Romans, and it fits, all the doctrine fits that time period, that it had been written in that time period. But in Romans 11:5, he says, even so then, at this present time also, there is a remnant. Now, Israel was familiar with remnants. There had been small groups of people that were not apostate, in the majority being apostate or unbelieving or going astray. There were some that kept their faith in God. But this is different. He says, even so then, at this present time also, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. Election meaning, you know what an election is, you choose somebody. To elect something is to choose something. They chose grace, not law. This was Paul's gospel of Christ. 1 Corinthians, it was written just after Paul separated out of... in that group there in the synagogue, he had separated out the local newly believing little flock people because they believed that Jesus was Christ and weren't welcome in the synagogue. And he separated out the local newly believing body of Christ people. They weren't welcome in the apostate synagogue either because they believed that Jesus was Christ. Then Paul met with these people. In Paul's meetings, it says he met 18 months. 18 months teaching these people that already believed the gospel of God, teaching the word of God unto them. Let's go through those verses and look. It's very exposing as to what went on in those churches when Paul got in and the Lord was working among the people. Acts 18, verse 7, we'll go through 11. And he departed thence, there's a key word, departed, and entered into a certain man's house named Justus, one that worshipped God, whose house joined hard to the synagogue. And verse 8, and Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his house, and many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed, and were baptized. This being still before Paul was sent not to baptize. Acts 18, verse 9. Then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision, be not afraid, but speak, and hold not thy peace, for I am with thee, and no man shall set upon thee to hurt thee. For I have much people in this city, talking about Corinth. And in Acts 18:11, and he continued there a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. So that was in Paul's meeting, not in the synagogue. They weren't welcome there. The Jews, in the case of Corinth, got to hear it because there was one wall joining between the two. It was like in a strip mall or a duplex. They were in adjoining rooms. So that was written about the Acts 18 events when Paul visited Corinth before Israel's blinding, total blinding and casting away in Acts 28. In 1 Corinthians 7, verses 19 and 20, Paul lets them abide in the same calling wherein each was called. And we've read these verses before. They are very exposing, too, as to what was going on at that time. Only at that time, between about Acts 9, or you could say 13, Paul was in the body of Christ, though, from Acts 9 until, or let's go with 13, because we only know of his preaching it. That there was this other gospel and other than the kingdom gospel and other group other than the church of God. There was the church which is his body and other set of apostles. It was from Acts 13 to Acts 28. And no other time do we, you know, since you go back to Genesis 12 when the Lord first made covenant with Abraham, or Abram, until now. There's been no other time when there were two churches, two sets of apostles, two gospels, two sets of doctrine, two different hopes of a destination that's promised to us in the gospel. So these verses show that there were two things going on at the same time. In writing 1 Corinthians, it was an obvious goal of Paul to exhort those that believed his preaching of the gospel of God to also believe the gospel of Christ, to be saved. So let's look at, you know, he wanted them to all be saved, but he recognized the calling of God on two groups of people at that time. Separate calls in separate directions. 1 Corinthians 7, verse 17. But as God hath distributed to every man, that's singular there, that's individually he distributes to each person, as the Lord hath called every one, so let him walk. And let is not a command, it's an allowance. It may be considered a encouragement to do so, but it's not an order. It's not a you have to or else kind of thing. And so ordain I in all churches. Verse 18, is any man called being circumcised? Let him not become uncircumcised. God had this program. He still has it today. There's no gospel being offered to enter that program, but that program is going to finish out. I mean, Christ is coming back as promised to Israel, and he will rule the world through Israel from the land, that huge area over there. But it's not happening today. You can't get saved by believing Israel's doctrine today. Is any man called in, called being circumcised? Let him not become uncircumcised. And he goes on at the second half of verse 18. Is any called in uncircumcision? Let him not be circumcised. Circumcision is nothing. And uncircumcision is nothing but the keeping of the commandments of God. Let every man abide in the same calling wherein he was called. Each man had a calling, and they differed in these two directions. So actually, the word that Paul used there was let, and let is not a commandment, it's grace. You know, this is what should be done, it's up to you, you know. It's responsibility too, but it's grace. But those verses show that although the U group included all of Corinth's new believers in the gospel of God, yet some of those believers had, and some had not, gone on to believe the gospel of Christ to be saved. So it was, it included the ones that had believed the gospel of Christ, because you've got, you know, give no offense to the Church of God. So it's not those that were little flock people. It's just the body of Christ that he's talking to, body of Christ members in that local assembly. Not only was there a Jewish remnant that would elect grace or choose Paul's gospel, but Paul's commission included gaining them and saving some of them before Israel's total blinding. And going on in 1 Corinthians, down in chapter 9, let's start in verse 19 and we'll go down through 23. For though I be free from all men, this contributes to the idea, that's why we're reading these verses, about Paul's desire to gain people into the body of Christ. For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that, here's why, that I might gain the more. Wants to gain them into the body. Verse 20, and unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. Okay, we understand that, the Jews. But he goes on and he says, to them that are under the law, that's somebody else he's talking about other than Jews. We know the Jews are under the law. Who else is under the law that are not Jews? Who else is under the law that are not Jews? He says, to them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. That would be the non-Jews, or the Greek, the Gentiles that are seeking the wisdom and knowledge of God in the synagogues and in the scriptures of Israel, called Greeks, most often, you know, devout persons sometimes. But Mark 7:26 calls them Greeks. 1 Corinthians 1, I think it's verse 24, calls them Greeks. 23 or 24, I think it's 24. So, going on. To them that are without the law, as without the law, without law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them. So, again, that same phrase, that's the point in whatever he's doing, or being like these people in their customs or whatever, he wants to gain them, that I might gain them that are without the law, without law. Verse 22, to the weak, and we, I'm trying to think when it was we talked about the weak. We didn't really talk about it in here. I've been doing a video, getting a video ready to post that talks about the weak. But to the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. In other words, by seeing you Corinthians saved. That's his overriding impulse, his overriding what governs him, motive, I guess. It's a leading of the Spirit in him. I mean, he's not doing it apart from God. It's an obedience to his commission, to his sending, my God. In order to accurately understand this situation in Corinth, at least four Bible facts need to be recognized and included. Paul's commission in Acts before Israel's blinding is to save some of the remnant according to the election of grace, by preaching the gospel of Christ to the Jew first and also to the Greek during that brief, what we figured, I think it was about 12 years yesterday, or day before, last meeting. You can't ignore that period. It's spoken of in the Bible. How can you ignore it? Secondly, Paul shook hands at Jerusalem not to go to the true circumcision, that Israel was to go to them and not, I mean, the 12 apostles would, or Peter, James, and John agreed. So that's something else. You can't violate that either. Thirdly, another thing that you have to remember, the term Church of God uniformly refers to the little flock of kingdom believers, the Israel of God. And lastly, the fourth thing that I noted here at least, the Bible tells us in at least three places that Paul took believers, the ones that believed the gospel of God, including some that also believed the gospel of Christ, and he separated all of them from the apostate Jewish synagogues. No wonder the Jews were trying to kill him. Paul departed from the synagogue, entering into believing Justice's home, his house, immediately adjacent to that synagogue there in Corinth. In fact, it says Justice's house joined to it, was built to it. The chief ruler of the synagogue, Crispus, he believed, and many of the Corinthians believed when they got to hear Paul's gospel of Christ crucified for our sins. And that's key here. They did not believe until they heard. And they did not hear until it had been preached to them. It had not been preached to them until Paul was sent to preach to them. And he was sent to preach to all that would believe, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Look at Romans 10. We're going to go... Thanks, Vic. Romans 10, 14 and 15. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Verse 15, and how shall they preach except they be sent? As it's written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. When you study in the scriptures and you look, as you go to the information about Thessalonica, there was a delay in that account, and that put a spotlight on Paul's manner, his order of doing things, his mode of operation. Paul had been allowed to preach the gospel of Christ in the synagogue of the Thessalonians, but before he could separate out the gospel of God believers, he was forced to leave Thessalonica. So he sent back Timothy, his fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish them concerning their faith. Their faith needed to be established, made unmovable, in other words, stable. And that delay that he couldn't do that, he couldn't preach to them the gospel of Christ, separate out the believers in the gospel of God and preach to them the gospel of Christ. That delay allows the seeker to see a detailed, dissecting view. It, like cutting apart a frog, you see more. A view of the process that the Bible calls Paul's manner. But that was Thessalonica. This is Corinth. Let's look at Galatians 2, verse 9. Paul shook hands with Peter, James, and John, who pledged to leave the heathen to Paul. Let Paul handle the heathen. And that they would go to the true circumcision, the ones that had already been in their group. Look at, we'll read the verse here. And when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given to me unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship that we should go to the heathen, and they unto the circumcision. So in that time period, all the gospel of God believers, having been separated out of the apostate synagogue, the Jewish synagogue there in Corinth, Paul again separated those electing to believe Paul's gospel of Christ from those who were electing to remain the true circumcision, the Church of God, believing only the gospel of God and Israel's covenant doctrine, which was still part of God's calling at that time. Those people, we read in 1 Corinthians 7, 17 through 20, that they had a definite call from God individually to be circumcision believers. And, well, remember that part of Paul's Acts 13 commission in verses 2 and 4. It was to call out a remnant according to the election of grace. And Paul was also, besides that, he was separated unto the gospel of God still. But as can be seen by his destinations, his route, his preaching, it was not Paul's calling to merely bring them to being apostate Jews. That wasn't what he was doing, and the apostate Jews didn't like the difference, obviously. But he wasn't just trying to bring the Jews into a true circumcision relationship with God by adding Jewish doctrine, belief in the gospel of God, adding to that doctrine that they believed already, adding the gospel. That way, it wasn't his call to make them completed Jews, in other words, or believing Jews. Paul was further calling Gospel of God believers into the body of Christ by the Gospel of Christ. And that was what his calling was. So Paul writes back to them in 1 Corinthians 1:2, calling them who had come out of the apostate Israel, out of apostate Israel, to believe the Gospel of Christ, being baptized by one Spirit into the body of Christ. And he says in 1 Corinthians 1:2, unto the church of God. Because that's what they all were before they heard the Gospel of Christ, having been separated out. The ones that believed the Gospel of God, before they heard the Gospel of Christ, they were all the church of God. And that's the group that he's writing to, even though it probably had split from the things Paul writes to them in chapter 7 and chapter 9, at least. They probably had determined in their own mind which calling they were under. We don't have to do that today. There's only one calling. God is calling you to believe that Christ died for your sins and rose again for your justification. That's the only way he's saving people today. And by believing that, you're saved. There's no going back. There's no. If you truly believe that, at some point in your life, you're saved. And no saved person ends up in hell. Unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified or set apart in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with everyone, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours, both the Lord of Israel and the Lord of the body of Christ, Lord of both churches. Do you see the two churches mentioned there in that statement? Both theirs and ours. Who was calling them to be saints? God was calling them by Paul, but it was God's call. God is faithful. Look at 1 Corinthians 1:9. God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. So the phrase, the church of God, refers to the little flock converted Jewish believers, the Israel of God. Now, from 1 Corinthians 1:9 that we just read, we'll be talking about those that were sanctified, those that were called to be saints, and those that were called, they were to call on the name of the Lord. That was something they were told to do. That can't be you and me, because that's an action they had to take. It was a work. It was something they had to do. You know, we're not in a do religion. Christ has already done it all. Any additions we make just nullifies his offer to us, makes it so that it doesn't work. Because it's by grace through faith, that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. So Paul first went to Corinth in Acts 18, verse 1, and going through verse 1 through 18. The you that's understood, that you group that Paul later wrote to, was one of the two groups to whom Paul addressed the Corinthian epistle. Theirs and ours. Look at, let's read it again. Unto the church of God, this is the second verse, 1 Corinthians 1:2. Unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Paul wrote to the church of God at Corinth, telling them that they are set apart. They're ready to hear the gospel, in other words. They're set apart in Christ Jesus. And some of the apostate Jews, now, I say they're ready to hear the gospel. He's talking in an orderly fashion here, but he had already made them ready when he was there. He had preached the gospel of God, the gospel of God to them in verses 4 and 5, Acts 18:4-5, before he separated them out and preached to them the gospel of Christ. Some of the apostate Jews who heard Paul preach about Jesus being the risen Messiah, some of them believed, but didn't go on to believe that Christ died for their sins, that was the means by which they would be saved. In other words, they already knew that Messiah was coming to die for the sins of Israel. That's Isaiah 53. It just doesn't say that by believing Isaiah 53, you will be saved to heaven. No, that was never said. It was never told how to appropriate that, how to make that apply to each individual Jew. All those people believing the gospel of God and quitting the synagogue had in effect become part of the scattered believing little flock, the church of God, before some of them went on to believe the gospel of salvation preached to them by Paul. And I believe that is the church of God in Corinth that Paul is addressing in 1 Corinthians 1:2, under the church of God which is at Corinth. Possibly some of the Jews in the Corinth synagogue had been to Jerusalem to that Pentecost feast, or heard about it at their, those male Jews that could were required to go back to Jerusalem 3 times a year, and this was one of the feasts they were to attend. And so they either could have, might have, possibly, the Bible doesn't say this, that's why I'm putting all these disclaimers in there. But it's possible that they did, some of them did hear Peter preach, or heard somebody that heard Peter preach. And it was a few weeks, 7 weeks after Christ had been crucified and resurrected. Peter preached at their feast about the kingdom offer, and their having killed their Messiah, and 3,000 believed Peter's gospel and were added to the Matthew 16 church, which Jesus Christ said, I will build my church. Jesus Christ built it in Jerusalem. Matthew 16, verses 16 to 18, or 19. And then in verse 21, the resurrection is included. That little flock of believers were set apart. In fact, they weren't just, they weren't saved like we're saved. They were set apart unto obedience and unto faith and unto the sprinkling of the blood. They had to obey. They still had to obey the law. They were set apart unto obedience. I think that's verse 2. 1 Peter 1, verse 2. And they were set apart unto faith. They had to maintain their faith. That's, I think, verse 13. 1 Peter 1:13. So, once they endured the fiery trial of their faith and endured to the end, then they were saved by the blotting out of their sins at the return of Christ. Not now. They're not. None of them are saved yet. There's a difference. Not everything is the same in the Bible, and the Bible doesn't say it's all the same. So, we're done. I'm done with the lessons.